The second lesson was gospel centrality. So it says in verse 3, it says that the gospel concerns his son Jesus Christ. And so when the Bible says that it concerns Jesus Christ, it means that anything else outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is not part of the gospel. It's about what Christ did for us, not what we can do. So I hope you're seeing this as we're going through. That the gospel is what God did. It's not there for us to add something to. The only thing that we are to do with the gospel is either exercise faith with it. And if you don't exercise faith in the gospel, you've rejected the gospel, which means you've rejected Jesus Christ, which means you've rejected eternal life. So lesson 3 is gospel creation. So the question is, what is the purpose of the gospel? Pastor Lee talked about last week about talking to yourself. I don't know if you do this, but I ask myself questions all the time. For instance, why are you here this morning? I mean, why don't you go to church on Saturday with the Seventh-day Adventists? What's your purpose for being here this morning? You really ought to ask yourselves these types of questions. Because if you're here just to make Pastor Lee happy, you're here for the wrong reason. You know, for whatever it's worth, Ephesians 4, 12 and 13.
Ephesians 4, 12 and 13.
That's why you come to church. You're here to be perfected by the preaching of the Word of God. So God had a specific purpose. God had a specific plan when he willed the gospel. And it wasn't to just get you out of hell. Now personally, I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. But I've learned much since then.
Yeah.
I mean, deliverance from hell is a blessing. But that wasn't the purpose of the gospel. The purpose was to restore what Adam lost in the garden. I'll give you the end of the lesson right now. That was a relationship with his father. It's about a relationship. Romans 1, let's look at verses 3 and 4. Now, there's something strange in these two verses. And we're going to see this from here on throughout the rest of the book of Romans. It almost seems like a contradiction. Because we're told here that Jesus Christ has two fathers. Now, the question is, how is that possible? Well, we're going to find out. Verse 3. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And we'll leave out the rest of the verse for next week. That's the lesson next week. But he declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. Now, we see this word son. You see this word made. You see this word seed. And you see this word Yeah, you see those words. Well, flesh.
Nyama.
These have to do with relationship. We would use words like related. Family.
Muri.
Relative.
Hama.
These are words that are associated with that.
Mashoko ane ukama.
Now Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Jesus Christ wangari mwanakomana wa Mwari.
But he was also of the seed of David.
Asi aibvo kune mbeu ya David.
So he's the Son of God.
Saka ndiye mwanakomana
wa Mwari. And he's the Son of David.
Asi mwana wa Davidwo zvakare.
And so we find out that Jesus Christ is the Son of David in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1.
Saka tinoona kuti Jesus Christ mwanakomana wa Davidwo kuna Matthew 1.
But he's of the seed of David here, so we know that he's that David was his father in an earthly sense.
Saka tinoona kuti mbeu ya Davidwo, saka Davidwo ndiwo baba vake panyama.
So question, how can someone be the Son of God and the Son of David? How can you have two fathers? Well, it has to do with the seed. In this, when we talk about seed, it's creation. So Jesus illustrates this difficulty for us in Matthew 22. Turn to Matthew 22.
Saka Jesu anotsanangura kuoma uku muna Matthew 22.
Verses 42 through 45. Brother Miles, you can just read.
Matthew 22. 42
through 45. Akati, munofungeiko pamusoro paKristu? Mwanakomana waaniko? Vakati kwaari wa David, akati kwavari, Daviti wakagomutumidza seiko nomweya ishe wake achiti, ishe wakati kuna ashe wangu, gara kurudyi rwangu kusvikira ndaiisa vavengi vako pasi petsoka dzako. Zvino kana Daviti achimutumidza kuti ishe, ungagova mwanakomana wake seiko?
So the Pharisees are having an issue right here.
Saka mafarisees ane kupokana kwarwita apo.
They don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Havatendi kuti Jesu Kristu mwanakomana waMwari.
They believe that he was only the Son of David.
Vanongotenda chete kuti anga ari mwanakomana wa David.
And so when you don't believe the truth,
saka kana usingatendi chokwadi,
it can actually become a vex to you.
Chinokwanisa kuva chinhu chinokukanganisa kwauri.
And so Jesus does something here.
Saka Jesu anoita chimwe chinhu.
And he did many times with religious people.
And we
see this outside the walls here. It's confusion. And so Jesus tells them that David called the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. And he says, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? I don't call my children Lord.
Right?
I'm the authority figure in our family. And so, but you notice here, he says, how then doth David in spirit? In a spiritual sense, Jesus Christ was David's Lord.
Jesu Christ wangari ishe kuna David.
But in a physical sense, Jesus Christ was the Son of David.
Asipanyama Jesu Christ wangari mwanakomana wa David.
Do you see the difficulty here?
Murikuona chinhu chakaoma kunzwisisa here apo.
And the Pharisees did not answer him.
Mafarisi haana kumupindura.
Because they didn't believe the truth.
Nekuti vanga vasingatendi chokwadi.
So the answer is to simply believe what God says. But the question of why there are two fathers here, there are two seeds. We have to go back and we have to trace the seeds back. So turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at the first man and what he lost.
1 Corinthians 15:45. Just read it. Zvakanyorwawo saizvozvo zvichinzi, munhu wokutanga Adamu wakaitwa munhu mupenyu, Adamu wokupedzisira wakaitwa mweya unopa upenyu.
So this is the first man, Adam.
Saka uyu ndiye murume wokutanga Adam.
The Bible tells us that he was the first man.
Bhaibheri rinotiudza kuti ndiye munhu wekutanga.
And this is obvious because he was created. He was the first person that was created.
Zviri pachena nekuti ndiye munhu wekutanga akasikwa.
And so Adam is the first man.
Saka Adam ndiye munhu wekutanga.
And you see this word made. He was made a living soul. So God came to Adam and he formed Adam. And do you remember what happened? He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. So God gave life to Adam. But in Luke, turn to Luke 19.
Let's look at Luke 19,
verse 10.
Luke
19,
verse 10. Nokuti mwanakomana womunhu wakauya kuzotsvaga nokuponesa chakarasika.
Now, when we're reading the scripture, we have to pay attention to every word. And so Jesus says here, he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's past tense. Was. So Jesus didn't say he came to seek and to save that which is lost. So he's referring to at least in part what Adam lost in the garden. Now turn to Genesis 1:27.
Genesis 1:27. Mwari akasika munhu nomufananidzo wake. Akamusika nomufananidzo waMwari, akavasika murume nomukadzi.
So here it says that God created man in his own image.
Anzi Mwari vakasika munhu nemufananidzo wake.
And in the image of God created he him.
Nemufananidzo waMwari akamusika munhu.
And so this word image is a very, very interesting word. I'd love to do a word study here, but we don't have time. But this image has to do with sonship. And we can see this principle with Jesus Christ in the scriptures. And how that he is the image of God. Now in Romans 8:3, we talked about this last week in the previous week. It says, God sending his own son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we know that Jesus Christ was the son of God. But we also see in Colossians 1:15. The Bible says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So he is the image of something that is invisible. Now you say, how is that possible? When Jesus Christ came here 2,000 years ago on the earth, if you could have laid eyes on him, you were looking at God. He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And so the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:3 that he is the express image of God. So you have a son that is associated with an image. And in Luke 3:38, the Bible says that Adam was the son of God. That's past tense. Adam was made in the image of God, and he was the son of God. And so when a seed is sown, when you put a seed in the ground, it's something that you put in the ground, right? You sow it. And when you sow that seed, the image of that seed is what you sow. You don't sow watermelon and get tomatoes. You don't sow peppers and get potatoes. When you plant a watermelon seed, the only thing that's going to come from that seed is a watermelon. And so turn to Genesis 5:3. So Adam's in the image of God in Genesis 1:27. Adam was the son of God. In Luke 3:38. But Adam is fixing to mess the image up.
Chapter 5:3.
Adam wakagara makore ane zana nemakumi matatu
akabereka mwanakomana wakafanana naye wakamutodza akamutumidza zita rinonzi Seti.
Now it's curious how that Adam was created in the image of God. And if Adam passed that seed on that God created to Seth, then in my mind the Bible would say that he was after the image of God. But he's after Adam's image. And he's in the likeness of Adam. Okay, so it does not say that Seth was after the image of God. Now turn to Genesis 1:26.
Mwari akati, ngatiitei munhu nomufananidzo wedu, akafanana nesu, ngave nesimba pamusoro pehove, dzegungo, pamusoro peshiri dzedenga, napamusoro pezvipfuwo, napamusoro penyika yose, napamusoro pezvipenyu zvose, zvinokambaira panyika, nezvose zvinorarama.
So you see that when God created Adam, he was like God. Now he wasn't God, he was like God. There is a difference. But in Genesis 3:7, something changes. Because Adam is introduced to a knowledge that previously he was ignorant to. And that's the knowledge of good and evil. So in Genesis 3:7, the Bible says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And so their eyes are open to a world they previously didn't know. That's loss. Now in
Genesis 2:17.
Read that, Brother Miles.
Asi muti wokuziva zvakanaka nezvakaipa usadya, nokuti nomusi waunoudya uchafa zviro kwazvo.
Now, if God says you're going to die if you do something, what's going to happen to you? What God said is going to happen. No one is going to overthrow that. And so, Adam and Eve ate of the tree here, but they didn't physically die in a physical sense. And so, When you run all the references to death, and you look up death and died and all these other words that are associated with death, I looked up every one of these. It's over 1,000 times it's in the Bible. Death is simply the absence of life. And so when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, the entirety of man died. You say, well, Adam didn't die physically. He did 930 years later. They put Adam in the ground. And so death is also separation. We can see this in Genesis 35:18, where the Bible is talking about Rachel. And then it says her soul was in departing, for she died. Talks about it in Genesis 25:8, where Adam gave up the ghost. His spirit departed his body. And so the death that God told Adam that he would procure, it separated Adam from God, and Adam no longer possessed the life that God gave him. In Genesis 2:7. This means that the image that God created Adam in is now at best disfigured. Now there is some of the image that's left. You can see that in Genesis 9:6. But Adam's no longer a son of God. This is the loss. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15:42. In 1 Corinthians 15:38, the Bible says, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And so when we're born through a seed.
But in 1 Corinthians 15:42,
we find out that the seed that was sown with Adam, it's sown in corruption.
Read the verse, 1 Corinthians 15:42. Mwari unodzvarwa pakuora. Muviri unodzvarwa pakuora, unomutswa pakusaora.
So death is simply the result of corrupted seed.
Saka tinoona kuti rufu inyaya yembeu yakaora.
Hence, corruption follows death.
Saka tinoona kuti kuora kunotevera rufu.
So in Genesis 5:5, after the Bible talks about he begat Seth in his own image. The Bible says in all the days of Adam and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. Genesis 5:8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And he died. And every single person that comes from the seed of Adam is going to die physically. Because we have corrupted seed. And so Adam's image now includes death. And Adam has passed that image on to everyone. Except Jesus Christ. And so the first man. He lost life. And he corrupted seed. And that seed has come through us. Now the second man. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 47.
Verse 47. Munhu wekutanga ndoe nyika wevhu. Munhu wechipiri wakabva kudenga.
So we have a contrast of two men here.
Saka tine kupokana kwavanhu vaviri apo.
And you read 1 Corinthians 15.
Mukaverenga 1 Corinthians 15.
Jesus Christ is the second man.
Jesu Kristu ndiye munhu wechipiri.
And he's the Lord from heaven.
Ndiye Ishe akabva kudenga.
And so the seed that Adam had.
Saka mbeu Adam yanga inayo.
Was not transferred to Jesus Christ. Because you can't corrupt God. And Adam has corrupted seed. And so we find out the principle of how God did this in Genesis 3:15. The Bible says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed. It doesn't say his seed. He's talking specifically to Eve. Now the seed comes through the man. But he says to Eve here, he says her seed. Because the seed that God is speaking of here is not Adam's seed. And so in Psalm 89:3-4, the Bible says, I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations.
Now,
we don't have time, but Isaiah 7:14 cross-reference with Luke 1:31, we find out that this seed is promised. Is promised through a son. And this son is Jesus Christ. And so we find out in
Luke 1:35
how God bypasses the seed of Adam and puts an incorruptible seed in Mary. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be the Son of God. God comes to Mary and puts his own seed in her womb. Bypasses the seed of man that's corrupt. And he does this by the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 1:20. We're told that what was put inside of Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And so the seed that Mary conceived was of God.
Maria yakabereka yanga iri
not Adam.
Adam.
And in Luke 1:35,
kuna Luka 1:35,
it said that Jesus Christ would be called the Son of God.
Jesu Christ,
and this is what Adam lost in the garden.
Adam,
he lost sonship. And so the second man, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God and the Son of David. And so he does this to bring man to God. Because man could not get to God. And so Jesus Christ is the mediator. Okay, and so in turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at why Jesus Christ came to earth as a man.
Verse 14.
Nokuti ropa renzombe nerembodzi haringagoni kubvisa zvivi.
216. No, try. Yeah, just read 216.
Nokuti zviro kwazvo haabatsiri vatumwa asi unobatsira vana vaAbrahama.
And verse 16 and 17.
Nokuti zviro kwazvo haabatsiri vatumwa asi unobatsira vana vaAbrahama. Naizvozvo wakafarira kuti aenzaniswe nehana nehama dzake pazvinhu zvose kuti ave muprisita mukuru une ngoni wakatendeka pazvinhu zvaMwari kuti adzikinure zvivi zvavanhu.
So if Jesus Christ is going to come and redeem humanity, he's
going
to have to be a man. You can't redeem man with an animal. You can't redeem man with an angel. He had to be made of our likeness. And so that word made means that it's something new. Because God has never been man. And yet in Romans chapter 1 verse
3,
he's made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Just like Adam was made. So he's coming as humanity to redeem humanity. And so Jesus Christ was made the second man to restore what the first man lost. And that's life. And so Jesus Christ was made of the seed of David to bring man to God, because man was not able to bring himself to God and fix the relationship. So Christ was made humanity so that he could bring humanity to God. Okay, the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to earth as God. You know, forgiveness of sins is a blessing. I praise the Lord that my sins are forgiven. But if you're in here today and you're saved, you're going to understand what I'm saying right now. Though your sins are forgiven, we're still messed up. You still have bad thoughts. You still want to do the same bad things that you did before. And that's because the Bible talks about in Romans chapter
7
that sin is still dwelling in us. And so Jesus Christ came to restore the sonship. But yet there's still something there. And so in Hebrews chapter 10 verse
1,
the Bible talks, it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers unto thereunto perfect. Now we talked about this last week. There is a doctrine of forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament. But there is no justification. And so this is one of the reasons Jesus Christ came to the earth as God. Because if he's going to redeem man to God, he's going to have to be more than man. And so in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3.
Sakona Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3.
Naturally, we are the children of wrath.
Isusu panyama tiri vana vehasha.
We're not the children of God.
Hatisi vana vamwari.
And in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4.
Peturu wechipiri chapter 1 verse 4.
The Bible is talking about how we can be partakers of the divine nature.
Bibiri riri kutaura pamusoro pekuti tinokwanisa kuva vafananidzwe neunhu
wake. So we've got the wrong nature. And yet we can be partakers of the divine nature. So our first birth put us into the wrong family. And we need a new birth to put us into the right family. John 1:12, being born again, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so this seed that comes from God is incorruptible, because you cannot corrupt God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so what happens when you receive Jesus Christ? The Holy Ghost puts you into Christ by a spiritual baptism. That is a spiritual baptism. It's not physical. It's the Holy Ghost doing it. It's not water. And so he does this, and he makes a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ,
5:17. Kana munhu ari muna Kristo,
he is a new what?
Achisikwa chi
creature. That's a new creation. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so God comes in and implants a seed inside of you, and he creates a new man, because Jesus Christ came to make a new race of people. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Jesus Christ came to create a new race of people. This is the basis for eternal security. If you're in here and you're saved, you know how you're going to be saved tomorrow.
As
God has implanted a seed inside of you that you can't mess up. The devil can't touch the seed. You can't touch the seed. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now that doesn't mean that you can't physically commit sin. What that means is you're not going to mess the seed up that's put inside of you. Now if you're in here and you're saved, we'll talk about this later on in Romans 14, but there's a judgment for you, and you go out here and commit sin, and you do all these other bad things that you know you shouldn't do, you're not getting away with it. So Jesus Christ came to earth as God to create a new nation through an incorruptible seed that originated with God, so that we could be the sons of God. 1 John 3:1-2.
Tarirai kukura kwerudo rwatakaitirwa nababa, kuti tinzi vana vamwari. Ndizvo zvatiriwo, saka nyika haitizivi nokuti haina kumuziva iye. Vadikanwa, zvino tiri vana vamwari, uye zvichigere kuratidzwa kuti tichazovei. Tinoziva kuti kana achizononeswa isu, tichafanana naye nokuti tichamuona sezvaakaita.
Galatians 4:4-7. So you see that there in 1 John, it talks about the sons of God. We're now the sons of God. Galatians 4:4-7.
Zvino nguva yakati yazara kwazvo, Mwaya akatuma mwanakomana wake wakaberekwa nomukadzi wakaberekwa pasi pomurayiro kuti adzikinure vari pasi pomurayiro kuti tipiwe vamwari wehumwana hwedu. Zvino zvamuri vanakomana vamwari vakatumwa mweya womwanakomana wake mumwoyo medu unodana achiti abba baba. Saka iwe hauchiri muranda asi mwanakomana kana wava mwanakomana wava mudyi wenhaka yaMwari.
So when God saves someone,
saka Mwari paanoponesa munhu,
he makes them a part of his family,
anomuita chikamu chemhuri yake,
so that they will not be the same,
kuti asazova zvimwe chete.
We'll talk about this in lesson 5,
tichazonotaura izvi kuchidzidzo 5,
gospel change,
kushandura kweevhangeri.
And Paul uses himself as an illustration in verses 8 through 17,
Paulo anozvishandisa semucherechedzo,
of how the gospel has changed him,
kuti evhangeri yakamushandura sei.
And so this is how Jesus Christ brings God to man. He brought the seed of God so that it could be implanted inside of us. And yet he came in the seed of man so that he could redeem man to God. Now, question. Are you a new creation? Because this is and by the most part it's the work of the Holy Ghost. Does the Spirit of God speak to your heart? Do you have the witness of the Spirit inside of your heart? Does he bear witness with your spirit that you are a son of God? Because Jesus Christ came to the earth to make a new creation. And if you just go on doing the same old things that you've done your entire life, and there's nothing inside pricking, I'm not sure you've been created a new man. This is the work of the gospel. Jesus Christ came to earth to fulfill his Father's plan. The gospel of God. And to create a new race through the power of the Holy Ghost. So that the relationship that Adam lost in the garden could be restored with us and God. That's gospel creation. Are there any questions?